Let us pray. Father God, we have heard your word read to us, and now we are poised to hear you speak to us. Father, our ears are attentive, ready to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And I pray, Father, that you'll anoint my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, so that I can speak accurately, so that I can speak powerfully, expressly, that which you want each and every one of us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue with our Catalyst series. During the month of August, we took a break and focused more on the lectionary readings, and now we're back to our Catalyst series sermons. For those who are probably here for the first time, we do have a set of core values that we subscribe to as a church. And from the beginning of the year, we have been looking at each of these core values. So we have two more to go before the end of the year. And this month we start the part of the series called Everybody Matters. Everybody Matters. And I know over the past year or so, that word matters has been used in a variety of contexts. We've heard of Black Lives Matter, we've heard of All Lives Matter, and all sorts. But the reality is, everybody matters. Everybody matters to God. In fact, everything matters to God, because he created it, he made it, and he was pleased with everything he made. Now, as human beings, God made us last but not the least. Why? So that we could fully express his image and his likeness. And obviously, when sin came into the picture, that relationship, that union we had with him, got fractured. But then we're reminded in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world. The world that got fractured, the world that got displaced, God still pursued this world. God still gave his very best to redeem the world. When we hear the word world, it includes people, animals, places, faces, systems, everything that we understand the world to be. God loved it, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This may not be a perfect example, but imagine, let's say McDonald's, for instance. I know that would get some, I know that wasn't deliberate, but let's just say a place where people can go, a restaurant. And they say for this period of time, food is free. Did you say yes? they said, look, let's say between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., anybody that comes into any of our outlets will eat for free. And there's a big public announcement about it. Will everybody go to McDonald's? Yeah. You think so? I'm sure there will be some people who wouldn't go to McDonald's, even though the offer is there. Even though food will be free. But it's only those who actually step through the doors that will have that experience. Does the offer include everybody? Talk to me. Does the offer include everybody?
Yes.
But does everybody take advantage of the offer? That's what God did with Jesus. The offer includes everybody. There is no criteria whatsoever. It includes everybody. But not everybody has taken advantage of the offer. We hope as many as possible will, but not everybody has taken advantage of the offer. But everybody matters to God, and He has made that offer available to all. Now, today we are looking at union and unity. You see, because for those who have taken advantage of the offer, they have come into union with Christ. Next slide, please. They've come into union with Christ. Now, what is Christ? Or who is Christ? Anybody? Sorry? Son of God. Anybody else? Everybody's thinking, what is he up to this morning? Who is Jesus? It's right. You see, because the word Christ is from a Greek word called Christos. And the Hebrew version, because the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, the original languages. And the Hebrew version is what we call Messiah. Have we heard that word before? Messiah. So Christos or Messiah. And it means the anointed one and his anointing. You see, because in ancient biblical times, anybody that was chosen by God was anointed with oil. The anointing was to show to the whole world that this person has been chosen, especially when it came to choosing kings. A very good example is David. David was in the field looking after sheep, and his brothers were at home, and the prophet of Israel came, Samuel, and he said, look, I'm here to do business. God has sent me to anoint the next king. And he looked at the first son, who was tall, six-pack, well-built, and he was like, and God said, no, that's not him. He was like, oh. Second son, third son, fourth son, and he went through six, seven sons, and none of them was God's choice. He said, do you still have anybody in this family? Because God is not putting his finger on any of these ones. And then they said, oh, yeah, there's one who looks after the sheep. And said, get him. And he was brought forward and he was anointed. Samuel took a horn of oil and poured all the oil on David and said, this is God's choice. So the anointing is a symbol of being chosen by God. So the Messiah, because the anointing oil in those times was a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. So the Messiah came to the synagogue, opened the scroll and said, the Spirit of the Lord is where? I'm the anointed one. And they were like, oh, no, we know you. We saw you in your diapers. We saw you growing up. You can't be the Messiah. What? But he said, look, the Spirit is on me. The anointing is on me. I am the Christos. And to show that he was the Christos, everywhere he went, the Spirit was at work. The blind could see. The lame could walk. The dead were raised. The Spirit was at work to show he was the Christos, the anointed one. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he stopped being the only Christos. You and I joined him in becoming Christos. Jesus said something. He said, it's like corn. Yeah? Just one grain of corn. If I plant that corn, will I get just one grain back? Please talk to me. Will I get just one grain back? What will I get? Sorry? Lots and lots and lots of corn. Lots and lots and lots of corn. Because one grain would reproduce many, many grains of corn. Now, the corns that grow out of that one seed, will they be different from the one that was planted? Has anybody eaten corn here? Who likes corn, sweet corn or anything like that? Yeah. And you're acting as if I'm talking about some foreign food from Timbuktu. If we plant a corn and it grows into cobs of corn, will the cobs of corn be different from the one that was planted? It's the same thing. That's Christos. Jesus was planted. He died. And he was buried. But when he rose again, he didn't rise as one seed. He rose as cobs of corn. He rose as Christos. You and I were joined in union with Jesus. We now have the very same essence that Jesus has. We now have the Spirit on us as Jesus has. We have the same life as Jesus has, because the corn that was planted is not different from the corn that grows out of it. It's the same thing. We've become Christos with him. That's why we are called the body of what? The body of what? The body of what? We are the body of Christos. Now, look at your body. Is your head different from your body? Is it different? If you remove your head, do you have a body? You still have a body. But it's not complete. You need the head and the rest of the body to be the body. And the head without the body too is not complete. Because the way the human body was fabricated was that we will have body. Lisa read something to us earlier on. She says, how beautiful it is for us to dwell together in unity. She said, it's like oil poured on Aaron's what? Head. And this oil starts to flow down his what? Beard onto his body. The same oil on the head goes through the body. The same anointing. We've been included in Christ. Just as we were included in Adam, and we were sinners not because we sinned, but because we came from Adam. That's what made us sinners. Because Adam sinned and everything Adam reproduced became sinful. Likewise, another Adam came. And everything this other Adam reproduced became righteous. That's why you cannot strive to be righteous. It's just what you're born with. Do you see the grace of God there? God has made you anointed. He's given us his Spirit so that we can now do what Jesus started. Where is Jesus right now? The physical bodily Jesus, where is he right now? In heaven. What is he doing in heaven? And he's what? If you're sitting down, are you busy? So, if you're sitting like you're sitting down now, you're at rest. You're not doing anything active. So, which part of Jesus is being active? The Spirit in his body. So Jesus is like, I've done the work. Now you go and ensure that people know that the work is done. The work is finished. Let them know. And by the Spirit, they will see the same thing they saw in me. That's essentially union with Christ. We have become one with him. So union is an act of God's grace. The reason why we can sing and worship is not because we're good before him. It's not because we're the best before him. It's because he made us good. He's saying you're good. No matter how much you try, no matter how much you don't try, you're good. It's his verdict, not yours. That's why in Psalm 23, he says this, I will walk in the paths of righteousness, not for my sake, for his sake. He says, it's just like before a judge. A man stands there before the judge, and the judge says, I declare you discharged and acquitted. That's the judge's verdict. Nobody can argue with that. The judge says, look, I do not find you guilty. Go. It's as if you never committed the crime. Will the man say, but judge, have you considered the little thing? The man will go say, yay, I'm free. Because the judge said so. If somebody comes to argue, the judge said so. What has God said about you? You are Christ's. You are the body of Christ. You are the anointed ones. You are the ones carrying the Spirit. It's not your verdict. It's not your choice. It's his. And the moment you said yes to him, he was willing to give you everything. That's why you matter to God. Next slide, please. So if God, in his grace, has included us without any effort of ours, based on his own good pleasure, then what must we do? Walk in unity. I should no longer think I'm the best over the rest, because I'm in Christ by his grace. So I should treat everyone the same. Show grace, irrespective of age. I should not say, oh, because they are toddlers, they don't have the Spirit. Says who? Jesus, at the age of 12, was arguing with the teachers of the law. We've seen children filled with the Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. They matter as much as those who are mature. It's not a function of race, because God is a Spirit. In black or white, using my American lingo, he's not red or yellow. He's Spirit. So no matter where you come from, you're included. You're anointed. so you can easily work with somebody else. You can get along with somebody else because it's not a function of your class. It's not whether you've got money in your pocket or not. It's because you are in union with Christ. That's why what Kathy read to us, he said, will the finger say to the hand, I don't need you? The finger did not put itself there. Grace put it there. So I recognize my place and I walk in unity with everybody else. Because when we walk in unity, the body functions. The reason why we fall ill is because the body does not function the way it's meant to function. So for the body to function as it's intended to function, we need to walk in unity. It's because of my union that I'm here. So I need to treat you like one who is in union with him. That's why Jesus said, the only thing that they will know you by is love. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love, that you love, that you love, that you love. So as we continue to explore this for the rest of the month, rejoice because you've been included in him, but also walk in unity with your brothers and your sisters. Amen.